Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. And I just ask that you would draw us deeper, Lord. Like you said to Peter, launch out into the deep. We want to find ourselves lost in you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is an old one you've heard a million times, but we haven't sang it in a while, so just figuring out the key.
So our first speaker today is Pastor Ronaldo Brown. He's actually leaving tomorrow? He's leaving tomorrow for Namibia. But he'll be going there tomorrow, meeting the Armins and meeting a team from all over Southern Africa, Zambians, South Africans. They're all going to meet there in Namibia and start praying for a church plant there. So we all know Pastor Ronaldo very well, so welcome.
John 15, three verses. Verse 14. You are my friends, and if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord do. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Father, bless these words and thank you for this amazing day. Anoint every part of it, God. Breathe in all of it. Be involved in all of it. We want to meet you in every aspect of it, we pray. In your son's name, amen. Why are we all in this room gathered on a Sunday morning? Relationship, really. It's amazing where relationship will bring you. And Jesus Christ, on the last night of his life in John chapter 15, could be thinking about a lot of things. In the middle of probably the greatest prophecy he gives in his entire public ministry, he decides to talk about his relationship. Under tremendous pressure, the last night, he's in the middle of giving this tremendous revelation about the Holy Spirit. What is he going to do? Who is he? In the middle of it, says, by the way, I want to remind you about our relationship. In the middle of my crisis, when I bring my problem, God brings the relationship. Says, it's me and you. And he says, in this relationship, underneath the crisis, underneath the challenge, on the big day, don't forget the most important thing, my relationship with you. That's everything. And I like the way he does it. It starts off with how it began. When you have problems in your relationship with God, he always comes back with how it began. It comes right back to how it started. And he says, I called you. We have a relationship because I chose you. I call you friend. You've done nothing friendly. I call you friend. You've done nothing. They didn't come to Jesus and say, how can we serve you? He called them servants. He said, I no longer call you servants. Where in the Bible do you see the disciples saying, can we serve you? No. He called them. Go back to Matthew 9 when he walked past Matthew and he said, follow me. He called him. Go back to Luke 5 when he called Peter. He called him. Go back to Mark 3, 12 through 14. Have I not called 12 of you and one of you is a devil? Interesting word. Same word for called when he says, I called the 12. It's the same word he uses here. So the same way he called them to follow him, that he called them to be disciples, with the same emphasis and the same force, he also called them servants and friends. He called them. So to Christ, to call you friend and call you disciple is the same thing. There's no difference. It's still my choice. It's my choice. Everything that God has called me to is his choice. It's his choice. And there's like three parts to the relationship, and I'll say them real quick. The first part is God chose me. Always remember that. God is constantly in your experience, showing you, revealing you, and reminding you, I chose you. When you're confused about your choice of me, remember, I chose you. It's kind of like in a wedding, when you say, I do. You're not making your choice based on what the other person does. I chose you. Do you take? I do. I choose. And throughout the marriage, it was my choice. You may see it as I'm your choice, but I chose you. When things get sticky, I chose you. I chose this. This wasn't thrust on me. I chose it. God chose me. Number two, Notice the participation. What part am I doing here? The first part is the position. When God says he's chosen you, he's positioned you a certain place. He's chose you for a position. You've been positioned. My job is to kind of sit in the position. That's my participation. By faith, I participate in the position that God has chosen me for. That's a calling. Whatever that is. God has called me to a position and I abide in John 15. I rest. I participate at resting. And then he says in the back end of the verse, he says this. And I like how he reminds him in John 15. By the way, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Back in Mark 3, I chose you. John, at the end of the relationship, it looks like I chose you again. It's always me doing the choosing. So anytime the relationship, you get confused, beginning, the middle, the end, I chose, I chose, I chose, I chose. Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world, I chose you. I'm still choosing you. Romans 11:29, I have the gifts and calling, there it is, of God are not without God changing his mind. God does not regret choosing me. People may regret you being chosen. He chose her. Yeah. And he keeps choosing. And he keeps choosing her. I don't like her and God chose her anyway. And I don't like him and God chose him anyway. Because they're God's choice. We're all in this room because God chose us. Based on a relationship. God chose us. So first there's the position, God has chosen me. And then there's the performance, which I engage by faith. That's my part. I engage it by faith. The participation. And then there's performance. He says that I'll have fruit. Now, how do I have the fruit? The same one who chose me is the same one who produces the fruit. Now, here's how I can get in trouble, and I'll close with this. I call it the faith sandwich. Faith is in the middle. My position's on the left, which speaks of death at the cross, and on the right is resurrection, and that's where life and the performance is. I get it in the middle by faith. But if I get in and I turn right and run to performance, that's faith in the flesh. But I have to go to the left, to death side of the cross. I've got to die here to myself, die to the position that God has for me, and then I can experience the life I have over here, this performance. But if I'm walking by faith in the position that God has given me, the performance is not my responsibility. Job 23:14, he will perform the thing he has appointed me to. Whatever God has called me to, he's going to do it. My job is to participate, not to produce, not to perform. He does that. Because God will do a lot more through me than I can do by myself. So this is the relationship. What do I have in Christ? I have a relationship that begins with a position before him and in him and with him that I participate in by faith. And the results of me participating in my position is that there's divine fruit, there's performance, and I can look and say, look at what God did in my life. God did it. But if I run to performance, I have an identity based on my performance. When I should run to position, because if I have an identity based on position, I don't have to do anything. I can sit in the church and be me and enjoy it. Or I can run to performance and try to prove that I should be in this room. Prove that I deserve to be here. Prove that I'm greater grace. I don't have to prove that. He proved that on the cross. All I got to do is participate in the position he has and the performance is his responsibility. If there's fruit, hallelujah. If there's not, hallelujah. That's not my job. It's a faith sandwich. I get in the middle. I don't get in the end. I get in on the middle. I didn't produce the position. I don't produce the fruit. I just get in the middle. I'm safe in the middle. I'm protected in the middle. And that's my spot. When I come in the body of Christ, what do you do in the church? I sit in the position that God has made for me. But you should be doing something. God's going to do something. He's already doing something. If you don't see it, that's not my responsibility. I'm not here to perform for you. I'm here to rest in what he's done. And when I do that, you'll be surprised what God can do with you. Father, bless us on this day of relationships that once again, whether it's marriage or the body of Christ, I have a position in you. And I participate by faith. And then the performance is all on you. You got to come through and you will. Amen? Amen. Father, bless these words in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. You don't have to perform. Hallelujah. That just delivered me. Man, I'm going to take off my tie now. Just relax a little bit. No, no. Amen. If you could stand with me and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to read five verses. Genesis 39, verse 2 and 3, 21 and 23, and then Genesis 41, 14. Okay, Genesis 39, 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, and the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. Verses 21 and 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Chapter 41, verses 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changing his clothing, and he came to Pharaoh. Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless this message in your name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I was going to preach a message called Perfect Love and Perfect Hatred Make a Perfect Marriage. But I'm not going to. No, it's really interesting. A lot of people say they want the perfect love of God, but that perfect love will create a perfect hatred for the devil, the world, and the flesh. Perfect love, but I'm not going to preach on that. What does it mean that God is with Joseph or God is with someone? It's much more than saying Pastor Roger Robbins is with Liz. Okay? He's sitting with her. But it means much more than just with. The word with, it's really interesting how such a small word can have such a powerful meaning. It means a union, a relationship, a communion together. There's a union, a communion, and a relationship. So he's not just sitting with Liz. They have a union and a communion and a relationship together. And by the way, they're an awesome couple with an awesome family. Family missions can work. Amen? Right? I'm sure of it. We did the same thing. And Pastor Cooper and Nikki, wow, what a couple. Huh? See them right there? He's been my friend longer than I can even imagine sometimes. Like, how many years you think it's been? Over 40 years. Can you imagine somebody hanging around me for 40 years? They must be spiritual. Yeah, they must be spiritual. They must be spiritual. And I love this portion of scripture, and the Lord was with Joseph. He kept saying that because there wasn't too many people with Joseph. If you look at perfect hatred, you could find it in the life of Joseph. First of all, he was hated by his brothers. You know, sometimes when we read these Bible verses, you know, we say, yeah, that was that. And, you know, but when you experience perfect hatred, it really does cause you to grow in perfect love. He was hated by his brothers. By the way, why was he hated? I'm going to tell you why he was hated, and it's the same reason why I would be hated. By Pastor Bailey would be hated, Pastor Ronaldo would be hated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Why was he hated? Number one, God was with him. Amen? Are you listening? God's with you and he's never leaving you, so the enemy hates you. A lot of times we experience all kinds of things that are taking place in life, and we would like to kind of put the blame on the husband, the wife, the kids, the government, the system, the situation, the trial, the test. We want to put the blame on a person or something, when in all reality, we are hated by the devil, the flesh, and the world, our own flesh. By the way, living in you is someone who hates you. Hello? The old sin nature hates the new person. The old sin nature, doesn't the Bible say that in Galatians 5? About the 19 through 23, the war. They are contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that you would do. There's an amazing hatred that the sin nature has for the new person. And yet, greater is he that is in us, that's the new man, the spirit, than he that is in the world. Amen? But I love this. God was with him. God was with him. And God is with us, and I think that's so encouraging. There can be many things that can happen in my lifetime and in your lifetime. And yet, we can always be assured of one thing, no matter what's going on the outside, no matter what's going on, even if I fail in Psalm 139 or Luke 15, that God is with me. He's in union with me. He's in communion with me. He's there. And it might mean, yes, he might have to discipline me in love. Okay? He's with me. Pastor Donald, he's with you when you were unsaved. And he's with you when you're saved. And he's with you when you're single. And he'd definitely be with you when you're married. Hallelujah. That'll be with you when you go on the mission field. That's not prophecy. I'm just having some fun. Be with you in Namibia, correct? I was in Namibia. I thank God that God was with me. Great opportunity too, you know. I'm so glad for these younger men. My wife was saying today, you know, like you could maybe cut back. You could cut back. I don't know, recently, you could cut back a little bit of your travel. I looked at her and I said, oh, really? I was thinking of stepping it up. Like, you know, like stepping it up a bit more as I see the day approaching. I don't see it. I don't have any plan for that at all. But you know what? I realized that he's such a gentle, humble, meek guy. You know why? Because God is what? God is with him and to heal him. But God is with us. And that's amazing. Sometimes we think about the decisions that we're making in life. And we wonder about that. And we expect to have all kinds of peace in our lives before we get where we're going. And maybe God is waiting till you get there. You get to Turkey and I'll give you exactly what you need in Turkey. I'm not going to give it to you while you're sitting in Baltimore. I'm going to give you what you need in Turkey. Right? I'm going to give you what you need in Namibia. I'm going to give them what they need when they get there, and I will be with you. Matthew 28, and I was thinking about the promises of God today, the importance of God's promises, and that's a great one. I am with you always, even to the end of the world, to the end of the world. Imagine that. And by the way, it doesn't even say it like that in the original Greek language. This is what it says in the Greek. With you is I am. It's a little different. With you, not just I'm with you, you know, I'll kind of be around when you need me. But with you is the great I am of Exodus 3, of John 8:58, of 1 Corinthians 15:10. The same I am of Exodus 3 is with you. And you know, this verse really, really struck me today. He says it in Joshua 1, 5 and 17. This is the great statement. Really built me up today. Listen to this statement. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Isn't that great? In other words, Joshua, I want you to be strong and of good courage. By the way, God said it 5 times to him, be strong and of good courage, not counting chapter 10. You want to know why? Joshua was great in battle, in fighting, all right, in sword, and in the army, and on the ground. But when it came to leading, no. He didn't have strength and courage. That's 2 different things. You can be a good boxer, but when they make the boxer the head of God's government, you got a problem. He was afraid. Be strong and of good courage. It says it 5 times. Be strong. In other words, the word is shazak. Have a attached relationship to God where he's not letting you go and you're not letting him go. Be strong and of good courage. Why? Because the way I was with Moses, did you see how I was with Moses? So will I be with you. When Moses faced difficulties all alone, he's got to go to Pharaoh. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And when Moses faced the Red Sea, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. As I was with the Apostle Paul, Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. I'm with you. Nobody will set on you to hurt you, for I have much people in this city. As I was with Paul, Christians, church, Greater Grace Church of Marlboro, as I was with Paul, so I will what? Be with you. What a promise. What a promise we have from God. And when we think about even missions or going forward or whatever God has for us in our call, as he was with all of these people, so he will be with us. Are you with me? You go through darkness, as I was with Job in darkness, so I will be with you in darkness. As I was with Joseph when everybody hated him, Listen, so will I be with you. He said that six times to Joseph, and God was with Joseph. Wow. Same way. We have a personal relationship. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you into a relationship. And that relationship means that I am with you. I'm going to be with you in every single thing. Well, I don't know. I'm a little bit afraid of getting old. I don't say that because I am. I'm not afraid of getting there. I am. We are. Some of us are a little older. I'm not afraid of sickness. Because as I was with Lazarus and blind Bartimaeus and the Mark 5 guy bleeding to death, so will I be with you. I'll be with you when you're sick. I'll be with you when you're healthy. I'll be with you when you're poor. I'll be with you when you're rich. I'll be with you when everybody turns against you. I had a church that said to me, the elders came to me and they said, we feel it's best if you leave here. Pastor Coop, am I right? I think they said it to you before they said it to me. You got out of there. You were a little bit wiser than I was. I like a good fight. Yeah. Can you imagine? You're in the church when it begins with about 10 people, and after how many years? From 1976 to 1994. How many years is that? Huh? 18? Yeah. And they think, we think it's best if you're not, watch this, we think it's best if you're not with us. Oh, hallelujah to that. And you know what I saw is a promotion. God sent me to Baltimore. Hallelujah. God was with me. She said to me, where are we going to live? I said, when we get there, we'll find out. We're going to move into Ron Swingle, Pastor Ron Swingle's basement. We're going to stay there. We had one smelly couch. Isn't that true? By the way, we still have that one smelly couch. No, we gave it to Pastor Steve Murillo. I'm sorry. We took the smell out of it, but it was a couch I could never get. You know, I have some things I never want to get rid of them. Certain shoes, sneakers, things like that. Never want to get rid of them. She says, I'm going to throw it away when you're not home. I'm like, don't try it. I'll hunt it down even in the dump. I will go to the dump and bring it back and it'll be worse. But as I was with, those were the comforting verses for me. Okay, here we go. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And that means in every detail of life, finding you a place to live, taking care of a marriage, a new marriage, taking care of a marriage. Say, I've never been a husband before. Is that true? Never been a husband? Thank you. You've been a wife to Jesus, right? The church, okay? As I was with you when you were single, by the way, it's going to be even double with. So will I be with you, because now you're marrying an amazing woman of God. As I was with you before you got saved, when you got saved, when you came to this church, when you were single, when you led youth group, whatever you're doing, when you get married, so will I what? You know why a lot of people don't get married? They think God's going to depart and be replaced by the wife or the husband. No. It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Remember the wedding in, was it in Ghana? I remember that wedding very well, Pastor Ronaldo's wedding to Charity. Charity came to church. How old was she? 13? You don't know? We'll talk later. I think she came to church when she was 12 or 13 years old in Ghana. And she was an amazing young woman of God. Went to Bible school, became a missionary, and it was incredible. And then he came to Ghana. I don't think he was in search of a wife. He was in search of God. But he found Charity and became an amazing woman of God, an amazing marriage. As I was with you. As I was with you, that way, and it's really good because you can drop some of those eating habits you used to have. Remember, you used to eat out of, I remember times, I think you used to eat out of a can, right? Cold macaroni, you cut the top of the can off and you would be like imagine that, Linda, the macaroni that was in those cans. That's like eating ragu sauce. I mean, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. And they would eat, I would see him and Pastor Eugene on the mission field, they'd be eating out of cans. Right? Am I right? I remember that. Now it's different. Now he has a table set before him in his wilderness, in his life. Amen? As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Adam Iram Judson, God was with him when he became a missionary and he went to Burma. And when he spent years in a prison, hung upside down by his feet, years in a prison, when they let him down, he would write the Bible in the Burmese language. And God was what? God was with him. If you find Burmese people today, ask them, if you would ask them, do you know who Adoniram Judson is? Sometimes they'll start weeping. He gave us the Bible. He wrote the Bible. In his tragedy, in his trial, God was what? With him. That's why I never fear trials and tests. I look at those directions to come here, I couldn't live in fear. Not being able to figure them out. But I thought, Linda's with me, God is with me, we're gonna make it. Not last night though, but we did make it. Connecticut. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. As I was with Job in his trials, God was with him. And it could be seen very clearly. Don't fear a test. Don't not make a decision because of you thinking what's going to take place. There'll be tests. There'll be trials. There'll be initiations from God. There'll be contests. There'll be opposition. Hello? They told me that one time they said, we don't advise you going to Africa. That's what the elders in the church in Springfield told me. I thought, Yeah, you're overseeing the Christian school. You're the head of outreach. You're the assistant pastor. This is not a good move. Dr. Stevens came up for a Thursday night dinner. And he, as he's at the dinner and all the leaders are there, he says, I couldn't believe he said this. Why don't you let this man go and pursue where God has really called him? I was like, whoa. And you know what? They agreed. And God was with us. And God will be with you. Never fear taking a step. Like the next Bible college class or classes. God is with you. Making a move. How about giving? Many times when we think about giving, we think about the future. And that God will be with you in his provision for you. Hallelujah. Are you listening? God will be with you in his provision for you. I get so sick and tired of hearing that word all the time. It begins with P. Pandemic. You know what? God's academic is better than the pandemic. Get off it, will you? Stop talking about it. You get sicker. The more you talk about it, the more, I shouldn't be talking about it. The more it brings in sickness. I think I got COVID. No, you don't. You're just sweating because it's 105 degrees out. What do you think is going on? God is with you. Some people ask me, are you worried about that stuff? Worried? Every mosquito that landed on you in East Africa, every single mosquito that landed on you could kill you with cerebral malaria. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go out at night because that's when they come out. By the way, some of them are smarter than that. They come out in the daytime. They're more aggressive, and some of them are very aggressive. You know, some of the mosquitoes today are very aggressive. You ever notice that? They've gotten more aggressive because maybe they've gotten more of a taste of human blood. And they get aggressive. One time we were in a room in Togo, me and my wife, and I killed 19 of them on the wall. Remember? She said, there's blood all over the wall. What's that from? I said, nothing. There's mosquitoes. Remember that room? Wasn't that a wonderful hotel? She's like this. No, but God was with us. Amen? God was with us. I got deported from Ghana, but I wouldn't leave, so I had to cross the border without going through immigration. And she says, how are we going to do that? I said, watch. Follow me. And I just passed like I was just an African passing without stopping to get my passport stamped. You know why? I said, God, blind those immigration people. Blind them. So they never see us. And we got to Togo and they never saw us. Hallelujah. You know why? God was with us. God will be with you. God is with you at your job. Hello? You think he's not around, so you can think how you want, decide how you want, and speak how you want, right? Oh, no, no. God is what? Of course he's with us. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:30 and 4:30. 13 and 4:30. He's with us. So that when I'm amongst unsaved, I'm amongst unsaved people, you know, my mouth can change. My thoughts can change. I worked in a prison for 10 years. I'll tell you, if I didn't understand that God was with me, you could forget that prison work. Because I was surrounded by murderers. It was a prison for all murderers. And I thought, well, my sins murdered Jesus, so I'm one of them. I'm no different than them. You know what? God was what? God was with us. God was with us. I was praying for somebody, and all of a sudden, some person came that was also born again to work in the same prison. And that was amazing. And then I really sensed God being what? With us. You get bad news, God's with you. I don't even know what bad news is anymore. You get good news, God is with you. You get a promotion, God's with you. You lose your job, God's with you. You're on the road, God's with you. You get lost, God's with you. People reject you, God is with you. They said, get Joseph out of here. They sold him to the Ishmaelites, the Midianites. He was brought to Potiphar's house. He was then accused falsely of having a relationship with the wife. Then he's put into prison. Can you imagine? 17 years old. He's all alone. But it kept saying over and over again, never once did we ever walk alone. God is with you, right? And it says God was with Joseph. And God raised up Joseph to be right under Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Don't ever complain about this country. By the way, I love this country. Richard Wurmbrand said, listen to what Richard Wurmbrand said. You may not agree, but I don't care. Richard Wurmbrand said, criticism of America is satanic in its source. He says criticism of America is satanic in its source. Even though you can see things wrong, God has used this country. 90% of all missionaries that went into the whole world were from the United States of America. 90% of all money spent on missions was sourced right here. Amen? Look at your church. I mean, you're such giving people for missions. It's amazing. You know why? God is with you. I preached a message one time to a church that never gave a dollar for missions. They had all kinds of, like, you know, property and all that. I said, why don't you put your hand in your pocket? Because that's where God's heart is. God's heart is for missions. And you could give. And you could be blessed. God would do an amazing work. God is with us. When we go to this place, we go on evangelism. I was on evangelism on, what's today, Sunday? I was on evangelism on Friday. So this guy says to me, I said to him, you must be born again. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He says, go to hell. I said, well, that's where you're going to go. I said, so why are you trying to play it off on me? He goes, what do you mean? I said, could I ask you a question? Are you gay? He goes, how did you know? I said, I can smell it. I spiritually speaking. And he goes, so what do you think? God's for me even though I'm gay. I said, he's for you and he loves you, but he's not for what you're doing. Never forget that. God loves everybody, but he doesn't love what they do. Hello? God loves me, but he doesn't like if I do things contrary to the word of God. And you know what? He really got abusive. Where it got loud on the street corner, you know? And it always attracts people. And I thought, wow, this guy's using, he's got an evangelistic gift. He's yelling at me so that I can meet more people. And they're going to come. This is perfect. God is with me. Hallelujah. God is with me. God is with you. That will never change. I'm with you how often? Always. That word always is a very powerful word. It means continually to the end of this age. And he's with us. And by the way, imagine if you went to heaven and God wasn't there. Huh? No, I'm not. We know it's not true. I know. But can you imagine? I want to be with Jesus. Amen? 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 Being with Jesus is more important than being with anybody other than Jesus' body, of course. But God is with us. People would come to church, they would realize God. You meet God there. God is with the church. He's called the head of the what? Head of the body. the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Moses, don't be afraid. It says it 4 or 5 times in Exodus 33. I'm with you. You're going back alone to Egypt to face Pharaoh, but you forgot something. I'm going to be with you. I will be with... I can't talk. Not only did Moses stutter, he also forgot the Egyptian language. So you can imagine what that must have been like in his encounter with Pharaoh. He's a stutterer, and then he forgot the language. He goes, I'll be with your mouth. I'm not going to just be with you. I'm also going to be with your mouth. That's amazing. And he goes there, and Pharaoh keeps rejecting him. But Moses knew something very key in his life, that God was with him. Gideon, you can face the Midianites. Why? God is with you. Ezra and Nehemiah, you can go back and build a temple and a wall. Why can you do that? How can you do that? God is with you. Are you listening? Are you listening? You can come to Marlboro. You must have thought about it when that first happened. You come because you know that God is what? God is with you. God is with us. I had big plans, I told you a number of times, to go to Italy. Now I probably would weigh 320 pounds because of pizza eating. But God was with me, and he sent to Africa, sent me to Africa. God was with me. God is with us in every single situation that we face in life. You're in a trial, God's with you. You backslide in Luke 15, and you're in a pig pen. You know what? God's with you. If you make your bed in hell, 139, I will be what? Doesn't mean the hell, but it means that which seems to be derived from hell. I'll be with you in your worst case scenario, in your worst situation. When you're at the bottom, underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen? God with us. When it comes to church, when it comes to personal decisions as a believer, when it comes to marriage, God is what? I didn't hear you, Pastor Donald. Could you say that a little louder so Tony can hear?
With you.
With you. That's awesome. God with you. Wow. You have, some people say, well, I'm getting married or we're married, but we're not bringing kids into this world. Oh, knock it off. Get your brain right, will you? God is with you. Don't say that. What are you, you're saying God is limited to just you and your husband or you and your wife. And he could never take care of your children. Like he took care of 2.5 million in Israel, his children. Oh, he could never take care of your two kids or your one child. He only just rained manna from heaven and gave them water to drink all through the book of Exodus for 40 years. Hopefully they leave the home by the time they're 40. I actually would have stayed home if I hadn't met Linda, because my mother, I love my mother, and boy, could she cook. I thought to myself, I want to stay with my mother. Then I met her, and I said, I want to stay with her. I want to be with her. Can you imagine? God can't provide. Oh, how about having one? How about two? How about three? How about seven? Are you listening? You just can't have large families today. Oh, I know. God's changed. Oh, yeah. God changed. Yeah, he doesn't know more. He doesn't supply anymore for anybody. Pastor Sampala had 17 children, right? In Uganda. 17. One woman. I'm telling you, this woman, and she looked great, didn't she? After the 17. And I saw them all in a line one day. We took a picture with them. And they all look, I mean, it's like, wow. They all look like their father and mother. And they actually had clothes on. And they actually looked like they were well fed. And then we ate a cow. Because they had a legal marriage with the government, but they wanted the church marriage. And God was with the marriage. And the 17 children. All of them together. You say, oh, that's extreme. I know it's extreme. But you know what? God was with him. And God's been with us since we entered Africa in 86. God's been with us. All these years, 35, 36 years, every single situation, he'll be with you in Namibia. He'll be with us when we go to Burkina Faso, the Sahara Desert, in a couple of weeks. He'll be with us in Togo. He'll be with us in Atakpalme. He'll be with us in Ashama. He'll be with us in Ho. We're doing a seminar in Ho. He'll be what? He's with me. He's with me on British air. Woo! I know, I know. But he's in me, I don't know, whatever. He's with us. Let's make decisions in this life based upon what truth? God is what? God is with us. God is with me personally. And I don't have to fear. Because many times when God said, I am with you, he talked about don't fear. Don't live in fear at all. Don't run away. Don't doubt. Don't live in anxiety, which cripples even Christians. Anxiety. This is going to happen when I get older. Maybe you won't get older. I don't know. God's with me. Amen? I can't even believe we're like moving towards 74, right? I shouldn't tell your age. That's not nice. You know what? God is with us. I just want to, I said to my mother, when she was going home to be with the Lord, she was 93 or something. I said, I'm going right past you. She says, yeah, if God's with you. As John Wesley died, and I'll close with this. He said this. Simply, it's on his gravestone also. He said, the whole world is my parish. The whole world is my mission field. Then it said, his second statement was, God buries his workmen and continues his work. Then he said, he was there, and then all of a sudden on the bed, he raised his hands. And he said, the best of all is God is with me. And then he died. They put those three statements on his tombstone. The whole world is my parish. God buries his workmen and continues his work. But the best of all is God is with us. Father, thank you today. God with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God with us. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. As I was with the Apostle Paul and Peter and John on the island of Patmos, so I will be with you. As I was with David Livingstone and C.T. Studd and Alexander McKay and Mary Slessor in Africa, so I will be with you. As I was with missionaries in Turkey, so will I be with you. As I was with Judson in Massachusetts, Church of Marlborough, so will I be with you. So will I be with you. What a great promise from God. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you, Joshua. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We thank you today, God with us. It's a union with communion that's personal in a relationship. God with us. Not just W-I-T-H, a word we often use, but really a powerful word. God with us. Personally with us. Eternally with us. In fellowship and relationship. In a purpose with a plan. We thank you today. If you're here, you've never received Jesus Christ, say, Jesus, save me. Come into my life and live in me. I want to be born again. I want to have the Holy Spirit in me. Jesus, save me. I want you to be with me, in me and with me. That's your prayer. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Maybe you're watching this someday. Jesus loves you. He loves to be with you. We thank you. You can acknowledge that prayer before God. And for all of us in the assembly today, may you rest assured with this promise. I'm with you. Always. Not just to the time on earth, but even into heaven. God with us. God with us. God with us. We fail, he's still with us. We walk away from him, he's still with us. We deny him, he cannot deny himself. He's with us. We thank you, praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord Jesus, we just lift up all of these needs to you right now, knowing that you are the great physician. You can do anything. You know every cell in our body. You know everything that's needed, and we give it all to you. Pray for friends and family tonight. We pray for Mike Williams, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen his body, bring him back so we can laugh together, Lord. And we pray for Brad. We pray for Joe. We pray for anybody else in this room who is needing a touch from you, God. Heal. Deliver. Heal our thinking, heal our wounds, heal our problems, Lord. We bring them all to you and know that you are able. Bless this week as we go, wherever we go, that we would be a light. You would give us confidence in our faith. You would give us great assurance of your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen.